morning.
It's good to see you today on this beautiful Colorado day. God has blessed us. Our dilemma always is, of course, are we seeing those blessings? Are we counting those blessings? Because the bucket of blessings in our lives is always much, much bigger than we can possibly comprehend. We have a lot of people that are traveling camp season and just journey season, vacation season, some from us and some that have come our way. We appreciate the fact that you're here today visiting from other areas. We appreciate the fact that you love your God, want to worship on this day. Or maybe you're not a Christian. If we can help you to understand what it means to love God, what it means to live forever, what eternity in heaven is all about, we'd love to sit down with you and think about the things that God has revealed from His Word. Well, we have all these things that center around one thing: our emotions, our mind, our affections, our values, value system, the decisions that we make, the hopes, the desires, the thinking that we have. What do you think I'm talking about? Talking about the heart. The heart is looked at in the Bible as a very big thing. It is who we are. It really, I mean, one sermon is not going to capture, of course, the idea of the heart. And we're really even not going to go the direction of trying to define that from the Scripture this morning. But we do know that the heart is an extremely important thing, and this is who we are. Every one of us has a heart we operate in and we operate out of. It is our basis. We do things with the heart. We feed it or we destroy it. There are things that we always have constantly going on in our hearts. We use it all the time in this life. We use it maybe thinking about things. We hate chess. Who likes chess? Well, some people love chess. Tom and Nick or, you know, Chad. I don't know why they like chess. I never learned it as a child, and so I never developed any kind of fondness for it. I don't really care for soccer either, but Gene loves soccer. You know, that's a hard thing, isn't it? Hard work, and some might have regarding their heart. I love hard work. Hard work when I get up till I go to bed, and others, laziness is my way. It's a lot of fun. And we have all these things that go on, even about the same subject. We have heart issues. You know, here's a cute girl. You know, shall I take her now, and shall I get really close to her, or should I kind of be slow going? You know, it's a heart issue, isn't it? The heart is in everything that we do. We understand that. And this is just the top coating of so much that the Scripture talks about regarding the heart. But how important it truly, truly is. There's so much that's going on in our hearts. Now, we realize that the heart comes into spirituality and decisions that we make. We saw religion here on the chart beforehand. And we know that sometimes our attitude towards religion is such as it's an anti-cultural thing. It's a bad thing. You know, we listen to culture and our heart starts to listen to that. And we begin to contemplate these things around us, even spiritual things on a very deep plane. And our heart starts to speak. We hear it speaking. And it starts to make judgments based on whatever we're allowing the heart to be fed by. But how important the heart is. We know, of course, that when it comes to heaven and hell, your heart is going to make the difference. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to serving your flesh, serving the world, it is your heart that is going to determine that. Proverbs 4:13 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Translators have a problem with the word issues. It has to do with an exit and borders or a region, a geography. And it's kind of hard to explain. You see then translations going a lot of different directions with this particular word. The idea is there's a lot that comes out of the heart. There are borders over there. Here's the exit into the open land. What determines all of this? Where is the heart going? What's the capacity, the volume of the heart? What's the range of the heart? Well, that's all the stuff that's in the heart. I mean, the stuff that comes out of you is what's going to be coming out of your heart. And thus, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Moses understood this. Remember in Deuteronomy that theme, remember your God, he's about to die. And he's leaving the message for the disciples and how to live. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death. Life and death. Concise, clear, obvious, right? You have a choice to make. Life or death. Don't get convoluted here. Don't get confused. Don't get foggy. You have a choice to make. Life or death. God or Satan. Blessing and cursing, as he says. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God. You know where all this came out of? Well, what it comes out of? It comes out of the heart, doesn't it? What is the heart going to do? Your heart is so important. Your heart is such a central part of what's going to be, what's going to decide what your future is going to be, heaven or hell, God or Satan. And hopefully we realize how important this is. Sometimes, you know, our heart is just not working right. Sometimes there's junk in our hearts, and sometimes our emotions, you know, they're unrestricted emotions. We just let fly out of us whatever we feel like. We have fleshly minds. Our affections are in the carnal direction. Non-spiritual values as we listen to the world. And evil desires and selfish thinking. We have all this junk that comes out of our heart, and every one of us realizes these temptations. We know that this is us. But we also see demonstrated a world around us of people who are bent in this direction. People whose hearts, they've just allowed their hearts to leave God, and they've damaged their hearts to the point they don't even care whatsoever about God and about doing the right thing. The heart can be damaged. And we have so much in the Scripture about the heart, but somebody who shows us, or is a great illustration of heart damage, is a man, Solomon. He referred to him a couple of weeks ago in our Wednesday night Bible study. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. You might read or listen along with me here, because we're going to see what happened in Solomon's heart. You know, Solomon was this individual that was going to build the house of God. You remember that God told David, you can't do it. You're a man of bloodshed, but your son can do it. And so David got everything prepped, and now we have Solomon getting prepped. And Solomon is excited, and Solomon leads the people ultimately to try to have the right heart and accomplishing this thing of building the house of the Lord. That's where Solomon was. He prayed for wisdom. He prayed for guidance from the Lord, and God gave him that wisdom. And God said, I'm going to multiply you many times besides, in many ways besides, the wisdom that you have asked for. But Solomon, you've asked for the right thing. It was the good thing. Ask for wisdom, and you're going to get it. So we have Solomon, who had such a good beginning. We have Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, many of them. We have the writings of this very, you know, sagacious individual, and this one who was tied to God, connected to God, and the outpouring of his heart because of his great love for God. What happened? Something happened to Solomon, and his heart went haywire. Let's turn to 1 Kings 11. And we notice several things. Look for these things. He chose to focus on what was forbidden. He chose to be influenced by the world's view. He decided that evil was acceptable after all. He decided that he would then follow that evil in idolatry. And he acted then out of his decision to set up idolatry in the land. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. What did Solomon do? Solomon had a lot of desires going along in his heart. Didn't matter what God said. Solomon decided that he was going to follow those desires out, and he began to focus on what was forbidden. And here's the beginning of it all. When we begin to focus on the forbidden, focus on our desires and our pleasures, on the worldly offerings, then we begin to pave the road in that direction. We know all about road building. Where there is no road, a road is built. When we begin the foundations of looking at the forbidden and starting to follow after that, we build the road to that direction. And we've seen many fall. We've seen many disciples fall following this road. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned his heart away. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. He did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Which would be done as his kingdom would be split between his son Rehoboam and Jeroboam. What a sad story that we have here. Solomon is one of the saddest stories. You know, many years I denied Solomon. Certainly he had to have come back to God. Certainly he had so much going for him in the beginning. Certainly he must have come back to God, but I don't know that he did. We're going to read here a little bit. He didn't change anything later if he did of the destruction that he brought. But here's what Solomon did. He chose to focus on what was forbidden. He chose to be influenced by his wives and their worldly views. See that? They wanted idols. Solomon, we need idols. Oh, my beloved wives, I love you. I respect you. You're so bonded to me. You're my heart. I will give you your idols. He decided that evil was an acceptable thing, and he moved forward in idolatry. And he set up idols. He set up specific idols. He acted to make it happen. It wasn't a mental thing. It was his decision. He was leadership in order to accomplish, in order to execute idolatry in the land. Wow. 2 Kings 23 tells us later, when Joash was cleaning up the mess of Judah, we're looking at some 300 years later, that Joash the king defiled the high places that were east of Jerusalem, which were on the south of the Mount of Corruption, Mount of Olives, called Mount of Corruption, when Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth the abomination of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the people of Ammon. Josiah said, it's time to clean this trash up. People, get your mind back where it belongs. And we're going to get rid of some of the partial direction here, what Solomon has done. We're going to clean up his garbage. How sad. There's the legacy of Solomon. Such a wise man that has turned to evil. Such a wise man that now he leaves the legacy of idolatry, wickedness, for people to remember him by. Oh, sad. That's a sad, sad story. But what we see is Solomon's spiraling heart injury, what he's doing to himself. He's breaking his heart. He's damaging it. It's like an unmaintained dam, and all of the rains are going against it, and it is starting to disintegrate, and nobody does anything against it, and just all these bad influences keep hitting it until one day it breaks and all the water goes out. Solomon got to the point where the dam had broken. The righteousness was gone. And all he cared about was pleasing his wives, pleasing the culture that he was connected to. He inflicted a lot of severe heart damage upon himself. You know where it began? It began with these meditations to follow out the things that were forbidden. To follow out the things that had to do with what he loved. Not what God loved, but what he loved. This makes sense, doesn't it? That's the road to destruction. When we stop saying, God, what matters is what you think, and we start saying, what matters is what I think, and I'm going to follow my own road, we start traveling the road to destruction. Solomon teaches us this. He teaches us that any of us, if Solomon could do this, he teaches us that any of us can damage our heart if we seek wrong values and make wrong choices, right? Do we get that? Any of us can make these kinds of bad decisions. How many of us are making it right now? Raise your hand if you're making terrible decisions about your life. No, I know you're not going to raise your hand. How many have done that? Not good decisions. I wish I could take that decision back. Not a good choice. But Solomon teaches us that we can become enamored in our direction to the point where what matters to us is following out the evils of our flesh. Or wanting to please the world, and we see both of those interrelated in the life of Solomon, right? We need to realize this warning for our own lives. We can destroy ourselves now. We can get to the point where we are just slumbering in our wrath, slumbering in the wrath of God, slumbering in destruction, waiting for that day because we have so removed our heart from God and so calloused ourselves that we're not going to be touched to come back to God anymore. There's a strong warning here. Seeking sin in worldly ways will truly damage us and do a lot of harmful things to our heart. We know, for one thing, it will blind us, right? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. You hear that? How many brethren do you know that you think are pretty good brethren, but they're actually walking in darkness because of their spirit? He does not know where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. There's the idea of blindness. There's a heart that has been blinded. There is someone that is moved by hate. He says, it's all right to hate. It's all right for me to have this unrestrained emotion here and to just let this thing go. And what happens is, he begins to walk in darkness. He doesn't recognize what's going on. And that's what pursuing a sin, letting our heart go unrestrained, will do. We will get to the point where it doesn't matter anymore. We're just blind. We don't see. Coupled with the next verse of Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13, our scripture reading, beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the evil from the living God, but exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Evil heart of belief in departing from the living God. By what? By a hardening through the deceitfulness of sin. Yeah, we can be blinded so that we cannot see. We might not recognize what is truth anymore because we become blinded. We're very, very happy to walk in darkness. It's comfortable. There's less risk. It's easy to compromise when you don't have to stand up and do these things. Very easy for us to be involved in darkness, and it's very easy to get to the point where we are just desensitized. We don't care anymore. And that's the point here. They were hardened in their hearts. They became hardened. That meant that their heart had this great big old callus. We know, you're guitar players, you violin players. You know what happens to the fingertips when you've played long enough? Those nerve endings are all covered over, and you don't hurt them anymore. You can take a pin and you can prick those fingertips, and you don't feel it because it's been desensitized by that callousness, by the hardening of the callus. And his warning here is that we can have our hearts desensitized to the point where we don't care what is right and what is wrong. When we choose to walk in sin, choose to accept the world's views, choose to just let the world direct us in what we're doing, we can get to the point where someone says, but this is what God says. And you know what we can say to that? I don't care. Because the voice of our culture, the voice of our modern generation is louder than the voice of God. Because we become desensitized. That's what happens when we decide to allow ourselves to walk in our sins and our pleasures and to walk in worldly philosophy. We can get to the point eventually where we don't care anymore. And that's dangerous. We go back, remember that? God, Satan, heaven, hell? What's the difference? What is it that makes that difference? It is the heart, isn't it? You mean I'm going to allow myself to damage my heart? And this is the deception of sin, because it doesn't promise. Sin doesn't say, do this, and I'm going to damage your heart. All it says is, do this, and think how good it's going to feel. Think of what you'll get out of this. Meanwhile, what is it doing? It's taking a hammer to you, and it's trying to destroy you. And there's the hidden agenda of Satan. He gives you the deception to look upon. But there's a hidden agenda underneath. I want to destroy you, and I'm going to harden your heart so that even while you're living in this earth, that you're not going to care about God and you will die away from God. Wow. Brethren, this is a little scary, isn't it? And with this then, what comes to happen is we can destroy our spiritual motivation. And this is the point of Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 4. Through verse 6, he talks about those that it is impossible for those who were enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God, the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now what he's saying is, look, if you're going to entertain going back to your world, here's the consequence that you have to be willing to accept. That you can get to the point where it's impossible to renew you again to repent of your sin to come to God. You see that? He's not saying it's literally impossible that God won't forgive, and God is saying, I'm just not going to forgive you. I lock away my grace from you. The impossibility is on our own calloused heart. We can become so hardened in walking in sin. We don't care about God anymore. How do you reach a person like that? The warning is to us. Don't let this happen to your heart. The warning is to open your heart to God. The warning is to seek your God. And not allow yourself to seek after the things of this world. Or you will be damaged. Yeah, seeking sin and worldly ways will damage us. So you're considering walking after the flesh. You're considering some fleshly activity. The world is calling at you. You can feel the lure. Someone is in your sight, someone that you might desire. What are you going to do with it? Maybe the reality is that now that you have set your sight on somebody, you become coupled with somebody, and there's something that's very bad that can come out of that. What are you going to do about that? This is humanity, and this is how Satan works. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to let God keep your heart soft and supple and following him? Are you going to follow the deceptions, but then have Satan's hammering away at your heart while you're involved in the pleasure? There's a great danger here. We so have to beware. We so have to be so watchful. Give diligence, remember that, Proverbs 4:23? give diligence in taking care of your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Yeah, be careful with your heart. Every time we decide to follow the wicked ways of the world because it feels good, we're just putting another nail in our heart. And yeah, we can take the nails out by the grace of God if we haven't calloused too far, but then we have to deal with the nails, the holes that are left by the nails, right? There's an old illustration about that. Sin affects the heart. Before we make choices to follow that out, we have to say, wait. I don't like sin. I don't like heart damage. I don't like what I have to deal with once I have said yes to wickedness. I like a pure heart before God. I like a heart that is directed and connected to God, that is willingly following His kingdom, and it feels good. There's joy in that. But I don't like the dark heart and the road of recovery that has to come with that. Trying to get back to God, that's a difficult thing. See, following these things, Solomon learned. I don't know if he brought it to his consciousness. Following these things will spiral you into a severe state of heart damage. And maybe bring you to the point where you don't care anymore about doing what is right. Dangerous? Here's the danger. This is dangerous, isn't it? Dangerous territory. This is reality. We do have a God that loves us. We do have a God that is trying to pull us to Him. And we have a devil that hates us. And we have a devil that is trying to break our tie to God, not to hug us and bring us to Himself. Satan simply wants to destroy us. And this is our great reality. It's our great reality. We have to be aware of the decisions that we make because of where they will go and the damage it will do. Well, we must make choices for the heart. I mean, I know that this is a series, of course. But we have to make good choices for the heart. The heart has to make some good choices about itself. It's self-preservation. Here are three things that the heart has to do. That heart has to set itself, protect itself, and train itself. Set, protect, and train. And here is the aggressiveness that the heart needs to keep its capacity filled with God, to keep its direction Godward. If you don't have this kind of forward direction happening in your life, then you just kind of find yourself defaulting over here to the world and to your flesh. Set the heart. Well, first of all, we have to make choices for our heart, and we have to set the heart. In 1 Chronicles 22:19, David said to the leaders, "Now set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God." And there it is. You know, sometimes we just simply forget to set our hearts, don't we? We're lulled by the fogginess of our world. We listen to the media. We listen to our friends, those that are around us. Maybe watching, you know, some of these dumb TV shows that slowly mold your mind into worldly ways, you know. And we don't think about it, but one day we can find ourselves unset from God. We have to always keep this in front of us. I have to keep my mind set. We have this across the Scripture with many individuals who did this. And they did great things because they set their mind. It was a heart thing. They set their hearts. They set their mind. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to let anything get in my way. And that was who Josiah was. Josiah, who did set his heart to seek the Lord. Daniel 1 verse 8. Remember when Daniel was taken into the captivity of Babylon? And Babylon had received the wisest of the Judean people. And they had put Daniel into service and they wanted to fatten him up just right, you know, according to cultural foods. The only problem was many of those foods Daniel could not eat because he was an Israelite. Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself with the king's food. And there it is. Daniel's life then followed suit, didn't it? Because he purposed in his heart what he was going to do. He set his heart. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do this over here. And you know what? The direction was clear. And there's a beautiful simplicity and joy to knowing the clear direction. Here it is. Don't you know you're going to get a lot of flack, you know, from these guys trying to feed you and the helpers of the king and all this? My mind is set and I know where I am going. There's freedom in that. Freedom in knowing what you're going to be. Freedom in knowing where you're going. He was free. Some would say, Daniel, don't you know you might be killed? Nope. He was free. He had set his mind. He had become purposed. And he was free now from all of the pressures, free from all of the stuff around him. Because he had set his mind. We have to set our hearts, set our minds. We have to make this very important before us. We have to constantly be saying, no, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow my Lord. I'm not going to listen to the world. I'm not going to let my friend pressure me. I'm not going to let my friend kind of push me into worldliness. I'm going to do what is right. I'm upset. There's my purpose. And this is my rock that I will stand on. And this is who we have to be. We have to set our hearts. Secondly, we have to protect our hearts. We have to protect it. Because once you set your heart, you know, is Satan going to go away? Have you found that yet? I set my heart, and boy, it's great to be free of Satan. He's never around me anymore. He doesn't try to get me anymore. No, we have to continue working on the heart, don't we? We have to be very careful with it. We realize there are delicate things that we have that, you know, something made out of lead crystal. We're very careful with it, aren't we? We don't put it in harm's way. We don't use it like a hammer. No, we don't use it like a chisel. We're careful with it. How important it is to treat our hearts properly. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Do you remember that? The Apostle Paul said that we present ourselves as living sacrifices, fully and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world. We get that? Don't be conformed to the world. That's saying, world, I'm not going to follow after you. I know the pressures. I know the pull. I want to follow my friends. I want to follow my circle. I want to be like them. It's a hard thing to stand up and say, no, but I'm going to protect my heart. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. We have this very, very important point made that says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision to fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a really important passage. Put on Jesus. And don't make opportunity to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know what that means? Protect your heart. That means if you're feeling the lure of that world, if you're feeling the lure of somebody, if you're feeling the lure of a forbidden woman, you know what you do? You don't go there. Feeling the lure of a forbidden man, don't go there. Keep yourself away. Keep yourself with ample space between you and that individual so that the temptation is going to be fulfilled. Stay away from it. Protect the heart. And that's what Joseph was doing in Genesis 39. Do you remember that Potiphar's wife, day after day, come on, Joseph, she wanted Joseph so bad. Can anybody relate to that? Does no one relate to that? This is a human thing, isn't it? She wanted him. He said, how can I do this thing and sin against, how betray Potiphar and sin against my God? And finally she grabbed him, and do you remember what he did? What a nerd. He turned around, left his coat, his garment with her, and he ran away. Wow, Joseph. Well, you just missed everything. The world would laugh at that. Oh, you must have been a virgin that, you know, you were afraid. You know, that's kind of the way the world would be thinking about it. No, he was protecting his heart. He was keeping his relationship with God intact. And that cost him, didn't it, in this life? But he had the freedom of following what he knew was the right thing to do. And what a beautiful thing that it was. He protected his heart. But then, thirdly, we have to train and discipline our hearts. In 2 Peter 2, there's a warning of those who have eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. We get that picture. That's a, kind of a comical picture, but eyes full of adultery, someone full of desire, you know, someone who's casting eyes in view of the object of adultery. Having eyes of adultery, he says, that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, he says this, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. This is what he said. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, the desires of their heart. They're trained in. That means they've gotten good at following out their pursuits. They know how to get the girl. You know, go to this bar and you're going to find the girl. You know, they know, you know, what kind of pickup lines to use. They know how to take advantage of someone to get money out of them. Big problem in 2 Peter chapter 2. Making merchandise. They had these things down. They were trained. They had trained their hearts. And I think that we learned something in flipping that around. That there's heart training that we can do. We train our hearts to love our God. We train our hearts to follow Him completely. We train our hearts by nourishing ourselves in the ways of God. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Wisdom, what do? If you'll cry out for discernment, if you will seek her as silver, and you get, boy, he's really appealing to our hearts now. If you will just look at her like money, there's money to be picked up. Go after the money, pick it up. Go after the wisdom and pick it up. There's heart training, you see. So much to say, but the training of our hearts. You know, the time every day, making sure that we focus in prayer. Lord, keep my heart. Important to, you know, the first temptations to say, no, the training process says, no, I can't eat that sugar right now. I'm trying to stay away from sugar. It's a hard thing, you know. I've got to train my heart to stay away from that. We have to train our hearts to say no. Pretty soon we're saying no more and more often. And our no is more firm to ourselves. And our way is more entrenched in following God. Prayer, Bible study, spiritual conversation. These things that are always within us. So that Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What was that? In your law is my meditation. I don't know. 8 or 10 minutes a day. Is that what he said? Day and night. That's training the heart. Here's the beginning. Here's the tip of the iceberg. We have to train our hearts. If we're not, then the devil is training our hearts for something else. We either put the focus on that I'm going to make my heart happen towards God, or we just kind of default to our hearts going to fall apart and become satanic. That is the way it is. There's only two things to follow in this world. We either follow God or we follow Satan. Pretty clear, isn't it? We have to train our heart. How important this is? We have to make it happen. So if you're just kind of go along in your world and some of your friends believe this, your circle believes this, or the media believes this, you believe what the media says, and you just kind of find yourself going along as a wandering generality, kind of in the foggy, you know, nebulous sort of mentality. My encouragement is today, don't let that happen. Become something concrete. Become something real. Become something that stands for something. Become someone that has set a heart towards God and is making it happen. And I'm not taking any other directions or alternatives here. My God is my God. And I will stand with Him until I die. World, go ahead. I'm going to help you to see God. I want you to love God. But I am going to love my God until the day I die. We need to do this. Why? It's how we keep our heart going. If we don't do this, what are we doing? We're following out the pursuits of our minds. And we're damaging a heart that can become so damaged, we don't care anymore. See the value of this? My appeal is to you today, knowing the indulgence and the strength of the flesh, to get your mind set on the right thing. And once you're set, start building your muscles in that direction. This is true. This is my God. I'm going to be strong in my God and serve Him faithfully until the day that I die. And the heart, critical. Don't destroy it with your sin. Don't believe the devil's deceptions. If you follow devilish ideas, you have damaged your heart to some degree. It's the way it happens. Keep your heart going to God where He builds it, strengthens it, and eventually will reward it with eternal life. So here we are. Your heart is a tool for searching and finding and following God. This is who you are. But Satan doesn't like that. Satan, who wants to be God himself, Matthew 4, fall down and worship me, he told Jesus. He wants to destroy your heart. You're the work of God, God trying to pull you to himself. He wants to destroy that and secure your destruction. Now, what happens to your heart depends upon your choice of values and objectives. What are those choices going to be? No man will stand before God in a lost condition, or a woman, without having made the choice and the decision to do that. We call it, I'm not making a choice, it just happened. That's a choice. Today we have to set our hearts on God, seek God, grope after Him, Acts 17:27, for He is not far from any one of us. And keep your heart set on God for the few moments of your existence, because you might be a young person, but you're going to be old soon. It's just going to happen, no matter how long you live. You're here for a few minutes. Go to the cemetery, look at the dates, and your existence is over. Wow, spend my life for God for a few minutes of my existence and reap eternal life? Yes, I will set my heart on God. I will follow Him till I die. So Josiah, it is said about him, there is no king like him who turned his heart, turned to the Lord with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his might. Should that not describe you and me? Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Pride and arrogance is not their way. We come broken and needy before God. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart. Shouldn't that be your prayer every day? Lord, bad decisions today. You know, difficult things to say no to or to say yes to. Create in me a clean heart. Guide me in the way of righteousness. And let my heart then become something truly glorious for you. That will keep me in the way and help to lead others as the light to your way as well. Jesus Christ set his heart on us. And he followed that until he became a Savior. He lived, he died, he was resurrected, so that we could live. And he wants you to decide today to get rid of your sin, to get rid of a satanic direction in your life, get rid of the world, get rid of wickedness, get rid of yourself, and come to him. This is where hope is. You know what? You can do that today. There's water right here. You can be baptized into Jesus and do the same thing he did for you. And he went to a tomb and he was raised from that tomb to walk in newness of life. You can do the same thing. But you need to set your heart, set your mind in the right direction. Get this thing accomplished. Why not do that? It's what God did for you. Why not do that for your Lord? If you need to obey the Lord, why not use this opportunity? Water's ready. You can be baptized. If you need to kind of recommit yourself to the Lord and you want to make that known, find strength from others, make that known as well. We'd be glad to work with you and work together in the cause of Jesus Christ. If you need to obey the gospel, use this opportunity. As together we stand and as we sing.